In the red clay and pine forests of the American South, Flannery O'Connor crafted stories where the sacred and profane collide with explosive force. Her fictional world is populated by self-righteous grandmothers, one-armed drifters, Bible salesmen with sinister intentions, and intellectuals whose education blinds them to simple truths. Despite battling lupus that would claim her life at just 39, O'Connor created a literary legacy that continues to unsettle and transform readers. Her stories emerge from a unique intersection of Southern culture, Catholic faith, and modernist sensibility, producing narratives where violence and grace arrive hand in hand. What makes these stories so haunting isn't just their shocking conclusions, but how they reveal the divine lurking beneath the surface of everyday life, waiting to ambush those who least expect it. O'Connor's characters often pride themselves on moral superiority until unexpected encounters shatter their self-satisfaction. In A Good Man Is Hard to Find, a grandmother's family vacation turns deadly when they meet the misfit, an escaped convict. After her family's murder, she reaches a moment of clarity, touching the misfit and saying, "Why, you're one of my babies." This recognition of human connection is her moment of grace, though it immediately gets her killed. In Revelation, Mrs. Turpin repeatedly thanks Jesus for her social position until a college girl attacks her, calling her a warthog from hell. This confrontation forces Mrs. Turpin to question herself. In her subsequent vision, she sees white trash and black people leading the procession to heaven, while people like herself march last, even their virtues being burned away. These moments strip away social pretensions to reveal uncomfortable truths. Aren't we all somewhat like these characters, constructing hierarchies that place ourselves above others, only to discover divine judgment operates on entirely different terms? Physical imperfection pervades O'Connor's stories, with disabilities serving as metaphors for spiritual states. In Good Country People, Holga's one leg symbolizes both vulnerability and pride. When a Bible salesman steals it during their barn encounter, he strips away not just a prosthetic, but her entire philosophical framework, leaving her literally and metaphorically crippled. In Parker's Back, O.E. Parker covers himself with tattoos, searching for meaning, until he tattoos a Byzantine Christ on his back, an image he cannot see but must carry. The tattoos, all demanding eyes, represent God's inescapable gaze. Despite his wife rejecting it as idolatry, Parker experiences a genuine spiritual awakening. These physical manifestations show that spirituality is embodied in our flesh and limitations. Like Holga, we mistake our wounds for wisdom. Like Parker, we carry transformative truth without fully comprehending it. O'Connor depicts characters blinded by intellect. In The Lame Shall Enter First, Shepherd neglects his grieving son while trying to reform Rufus, a delinquent with high intelligence. When his son commits suicide, hoping to join his dead mother in heaven, Shepherd's insight arrives too late. I did more for him than I did for my own child. In The Enduring Chill, Asbury returns home to die, believing his illness will make his mother recognize his artistic sensitivity. Learning he merely has undulant fever from unpasteurized milk transforms his dramatic gesture into farce. O'Connor explained she had to shout for the deaf and draw large figures for the blind, justifying her use of violence to reach secular readers. In Greenleaf, Mrs. May's obsession with controlling her farm ends when a bull gores her. As she dies, she appears whispering some last discovery into the animal's ear, with the look of a person whose sight has been suddenly restored, but who finds the light unbearable. These violent epiphanies break through human complacency and intellectual arrogance. O'Connor's young characters face adult corruption while often perceiving spiritual truths more clearly than grown-ups. In The River, neglected 4-year-old Harry Ashfield, who renames himself Bevel, finds meaning in a river baptism where the preacher tells him, "You count now." Seeking to recapture this belonging, Bevel returns alone to the river and drowns during self-baptism, a death O'Connor frames as spiritual redemption. In A View of the Woods, 9-year-old Mary Fortune's relationship with her grandfather shatters when he sells their cherished front lawn for a gas station. Their confrontation turns violent, with Mary Fortune attacking him and declaring herself pure Pitts, choosing her father's lineage. Their mutual destruction shows how children become casualties in adult power struggles. Throughout O'Connor's stories, God appears as a disruptive force that shatters characters' worldviews. In The Artificial Nigger, Mr. Head takes his grandson Nelson to Atlanta to cure the boy's pride. After becoming lost, Mr. Head denies knowing Nelson when the boy accidentally knocks down an elderly woman. Their reconciliation comes only when they encounter a plaster figure of a black man, whose suffering becomes an action of mercy that reunites them. In The Violent Bear It Away, young Francis Tarwater struggles against his great uncle's prophecy that he will become a prophet. After drowning his cousin during a botched baptism and being raped by a stranger, Tarwater finally accepts his prophetic calling. The violence he experiences becomes the crucible through which his vocation is forged. In A Temple of the Holy Ghost, a precocious child encounters a hermaphrodite at a fair who declares, "God made me this away." During a later church service, the girl connects the hermaphrodite to the Eucharist, contemplating how God had made himself present in the host. This connection elevates physical difference into a meditation on incarnation, divinity manifested in imperfect flesh. These encounters with the divine in unexpected places challenge conventional religious expressions. Where might God be ambushing you in daily life? What unlikely messengers carry divine truth you've overlooked? O'Connor's characters undergo spiritual transformations through suffering and confrontation with limitations, suggesting authentic faith emerges not from comfort, but from crisis. O'Connor's stories unsettle because they refuse easy moral categorization. Her characters are neither heroes nor villains, but flawed humans facing revelatory moments. This moral vision speaks directly to our divided society, challenging both secular dismissals of spirituality and sanitized religious sentimentality through explorations of racism, intellectual pride, and religious hypocrisy. The Misfits' declaration, "No pleasure but meanness," after killing the grandmother, reveals the emptiness of a life without grace. Mrs. May's death, impaled on bull's horns with the look of a person whose sight has been suddenly restored but who finds the light unbearable, shows that revelation can come too late for earthly salvation, but perhaps not for spiritual redemption. In our world of moral relativism, O'Connor offers a bracing alternative. Her work presents violence and grace as linked, not because violence redeems, but because our resistance to grace often requires shocking disruption. These stories haunt us by demanding we look unflinchingly at ourselves and recognize that redemption remains possible even in our darkest moments.